Well, hello everybody, and welcome to Live with Lon. I'm Lon, and this is the first Live with Lon that I have actually recorded after post my surgery, open heart surgery, which was on September 1. So it's so great to be back with you, so great to be back preaching the eternal and holy word of God. And I want to take just a moment today and thank all of you who prayed for me and sent me cards and letters. That was so kind, so encouraging. I just can't tell you how much I appreciate that. And thank you so much for your prayers for me, for Brenda, for Jill. Jill's doing great. Brenda is doing great, and we just need prayers for my recovery, which is still, I'm only 1 month in, and they say it takes 4 months to fully recover, so I'm not 100% back yet, but I'll tell you about that in a minute. First of all, let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your mercy and love and kindness to me in getting me through that surgery and raising me back up to health. And Lord, thank you for Brenda, who's been so wonderful in helping to take care of me. And thank you for the great health you've given Jill. Lord, continue to protect us from the coronavirus and just continue to strengthen Brenda to carry the extra load that she's having to carry now with me not being 100%. And I pray, Lord, for Jill, continue, Father, to give her stable and wonderful weeks. And we do pray against this virus, that you would give us a vaccine very, very soon, Lord, so that we can get back to life as we know it. Lord, now as we open the Word of God, I thank you so much for all the people who prayed for me. And I pray that I might now be able to give them some spiritual truth that came out of this whole experience that I've been through. Spiritual truth that will help and encourage them. So, Lord, open our hearts, and we pray this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. Okay. Well, the title of my message today is No Fear in Death. No fear in death. I don't know if I will go a full 30 minutes, but most of you won't complain if I go less. So, anyway, you know we're in the Gospels. We're studying the Gospels and Live with Lon, and we're going to return to the Gospels, Lord willing. But I just want to share one of the many lessons that I learned from going through this open heart surgery that I have just been so impressed with that I just thought I had to share it with you. Little bit of background. The week of August 20th, I had walking out of my son, who was in town visiting, walking out of his hotel room to come home. I had all the symptoms of a heart attack. I didn't go to the hospital, though, because I wasn't sure it was a heart attack. But I did call my cardiologist, and they said we need to do a catheterization and go in and see what's going on, and hopefully we can fix it with a stent or two. I told Brenda on the way to the hospital the day I was having that cat, Brenda, I said, I don't think this is going to be fixed with a stent. I just have a foreboding from the Lord that this is much more serious than that. Well, it turned out to be. And you know, we have a small group. When we get together with our small group, we have a rule. Only one ailment and only one grandchild. That's all you can talk about in a small group meeting. One ailment and one grandchild. So I don't want to talk a lot about my ailments, except to say that after they saw what was going on in there, They scheduled me as fast as they possibly could for open heart surgery to have a double bypass. And then when they were doing some basic tests to get me ready for that, they discovered that I had a problem with my aorta. My ascending aorta, for those of you who are medical people, was developing a pre-aneurysm, you know, where it could develop a bubble and burst. It wasn't quite there yet, but I was on the way to that. And so they decided while they were in, they would fix my aorta as well, which meant cutting it in two places and putting something like a piece of garden hose, is what it felt like when they showed it to me, in, and then sewing it on the top and sewing it on the bottom. So I had actually two surgeons, one to work on my aorta, one to work on my bypass, and I had the dream team. I had two great surgeons and a great anesthesiologist, that my son Jamie, who knows these doctors over at Fairfax Hospital, helped put together for me, and that was so wonderful and sweet of him. And so I went in with the dream team, but friends, I was serious. I knew I was serious. They knew I was serious. The bypass doctor said to me, if I had the arteries, coronary arteries that you had, if they took your arteries, put them on my heart right now, I would be dead. The only reason you're alive, Reverend Solomon, is because your heart has compensated and grown maybe extra capillaries and to compensate for these blockages. But if you put your blockages on my heart right now, I would be dead. And so I understood the gravity of the situation. And I told Brenda the morning of surgery, 5 a.m., ha! Had to be there. I said, Brenda, you know what? I'm going to wake up in one of two places. I'm going to wake up in heaven with the Lord Jesus, or I'm going to wake up in the recovery room, and I'm okay with either, whatever the Lord wants. And so when they went in, they told us later that the blockages were even worse than they thought, that the damage to my aorta was even worse than they thought. And they told me, one of the doctors told me my heart was even failing, beginning to fail, just as they were putting me under anesthesia, just from the stress of anesthesia. So that was my situation, friends. And I knew dying was a real possibility. And as you know, my father had 4 heart attacks, and I have terrible genes. And so this was serious. I'll just tell you one funny thing. They warned me, my sons did, if I made it through the surgery and went to the recovery room, that I was still going to have the intubation tube down my throat, and I was still going to, they were going to tie my hands down to the bed. Now, I'm claustrophobic, and I mean tying my hands down to anything. I'd go crazy. I mean, are you kidding? Are you kidding? So I was like, oh, geez. So when I woke up after the surgery, I remember, even though I was hazy, lying there, and I could feel this tube down my throat, and I could feel my hands tied down. I couldn't move them. And I remember what I had said to Brenda, I'm going to wake up in heaven or in the recovery room. And I remember saying to myself, I said it in my head, well, lying here with this tube down my throat and my hands tied, this ain't heaven. I said that. This is not heaven, so I must be in the recovery room. And I started banging on the side of the bed with my hand to try to get the nurse to come over and take this tube out. That's why they tie your hands down. She came over, and she's like, would you stop banging on the side of the bed, please? And so I'm trying to signal her, pull this tube out of me. And she said, you're not ready yet. And she walked away. So I start banging on the side of the bed again with my hand. Got another nurse coming over going, would you stop banging on the side of the bed? Friends, what can I say? Anyway, so that was my experience. And the text that I want us to talk about today from the Bible is from the book of Hebrews, New King James Version, chapter 2. Here's what it says. Hebrews chapter 2, in the middle of verse 14. Jesus, through death, he did this through death that he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is, the devil, verse 15, and that Jesus might deliver those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage, to slavery. This is our text. And the Bible makes it very clear that there are millions of people in our world, billions of people in our world, who are in slavery and bondage to one fear, and that is the fear of death. And that Jesus went to the cross and died on the cross and rose from the dead to take the power of death away from Satan. And remember in Revelation chapter 1, Jesus said, I am the risen Christ, and I have the keys to hell and death. And so this is our text. And what I want to talk to you today about is no fear in death. You know, the Bible also says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, I want to show you that. It says in verse 54, when we get our new bodies in heaven, death is swallowed up in victory. Verse 55, O death, where is your sting? O Hades, hell, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But we're not under the law anymore when we're in Christ. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory over death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Folks, Psalm 116 says that precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of his saints, because we're on our way to heaven. And I remember in the days prior to my surgery, the verses that were on my mind were Philippians chapter 1, for to depart and be with Christ is exceedingly far better. Remember, Paul had seen heaven. He tells us about it in 2 Corinthians 12. He tells us he wasn't even allowed to come back and talk about it because it was so wonderful. If we really knew what heaven was like, we'd all go jump off a bridge so we could get there faster. Paul was not allowed to give us any details, but he wrote that heaven, to depart and be with Christ, is exceedingly far better. And you say, Lon, how do you know when we depart here that we go be with Christ? Well, because 2 Corinthians 5:8 says to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, if you're a believer in Jesus. There's no purgatory, there's no soul sleep, there's no intermediary state, there's none of this stuff. To depart and be with Christ is exceedingly far better, and to be absent from the body is to be with the Lord. These verses were so great as I focused on them. And I thought, well, Lord, to depart and be with you is exceedingly far better. This is great. So when they wheeled me down the hallway towards the operating room on September 1, I wasn't awake long. They put me out quick. But those verses were on my heart. And I believe those verses because they're in the Bible, and believed them with all of my heart. And here's what I want to tell you. You say, well, it's about time. Yeah, okay, fine. But here's what I want to tell you. Folks, I have been to the precipice of death. Folks, I have looked death right in the face. And I have looked the grave right in the eyeballs. And I want to tell you that I had absolutely zero fear. Not 2%, not 1%. I'm talking 0% fear. Why? Because God gave me grace. God gave me grace. And when I needed that grace to face death, I had it. And my wife even said to me, because she knows how much I don't like surgical procedures. I don't like going to the dentist. I don't like anybody messing with my body. Just leave me alone, you know. Well, you know, some of you are like me, where you don't like that either. She said, you know, it's amazing to me that you don't seem to be scared or nervous or anxious at all. And I said, Brenda, you know, I'm really not. It's like some kind of magical grace has just dropped on me. And I'm just not scared at all. I'm just completely at peace, looking death right in the eyeballs and knowing there was a very good probability that I was going to die on September the 1st or shortly thereafter. Folks, that's my testimony. That is my testimony. You say, okay, well, so what? I tricked you. I tricked you. All right, you ready? Come on now. Let's do it. Let's do it. Ready? 1, 2, 3. So what? And I haven't done that live with you in 6 weeks, so allow me to say how sweet it is. Like Jackie. You say, Lon, so what? Friends, I'm here to tell you today one simple thing, and that is when you get ready as a follower of Jesus, with your sins covered by the blood of Christ, with your sins paid for by the blood of Christ, and with your life redeemed by the work of Christ on the cross, when you get ready to face death, if you're in that standing with God, you will not be afraid either. You say, well, I'm afraid now a little bit. I mean, when I think about death now, I'm a little nervous and scared. Yeah, well, let me tell you why. It's because you don't have dying grace yet. Friends, when you're facing death and you're ready, you'll get dying grace like I did. You know, God chose for me not to die, but I had dying grace. I was ready. You're not even close right now. You don't have dying grace. Hey, and so you're afraid of something because you don't have the grace yet to face it. Friends, when you get a root canal, you get root canal grace. When you get a knee replacement, you get knee replacement grace. When you're suffering or you lose your job or something else happens, you get grace for that. But when we look ahead to those situations that aren't real yet, that are not actually upon us, and we don't have the grace yet for them because they're not real yet, of course we're scared. We're scared because we don't have the grace. But when you get there, you'll have the grace. And that's what I found. That is my testimony to you. It shocked me, honestly. I've never felt like that before. I couldn't believe that I was talking about dying without the slightest bit of anxiety at all. But Jesus said, John 6:47, he who believes in me has eternal life. And I believe that. And the Bible in Acts chapter 7, where Stephen was stoned to death, he said, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. And then he closed his eyes and he went to sleep, the Bible says. A euphemism for death. He wasn't scared. I think of all the martyrs in church history. They burned them at the stake. They crucified them. They cut their heads off. You don't read, if you go to Eusebius' church history that tells us, or Fox's Book of Martyrs, you don't read about these people being scared. You say, well, maybe they just whitewashed their fear. No, I don't believe that at all. They were not scared. They were facing death, but they had dying grace from the Lord. And it was all okay. It was okay. And they had no fear. And I remember Brenda's mom, who was a devout follower of Christ. When she was dying of cancer, she called me in her room. She called all of her children and their marriage partners in the room one by one. And after we spoke, as I was leaving the room, she sat up in bed. She had terrible cancer. And she probably was down to, 50 or 75 pounds. And she said, with a smile on her face, she sat up in bed and she was so weak, but with excitement, she sat up in her bed. And the last thing she said to me, she said, "Lon," she said, "I'll see you in heaven." And I walked out of that room and I was like, wow, how can that woman be so at peace with the fact that she's dying? Now I understand. Brenda's dad, when he was dying, wonderful follower of Christ. The doctor said to him, "If we don't perform this procedure on you, you're going to die, Bill. Do you understand that?" And he said, "No, no procedure." And he said, "Let's land this plane." Those were the last words he spoke on earth. "Let's land this plane." 10 minutes later, he was with the Lord. It may not even have been 10. No fear. "Let's land this plane," is what he said. My dad, who I had led to Christ the week before, when I went down to see him after he had had the heart attack that was going to kill him in a day or so, and I went in to see him, he spelled out to me, L-O-R-D, because he had a tube down his throat, A-N-D-J-E-W, that he had the Lord and he was still Jewish. And I looked at his face, and he had a brightness in his eyes, a sparkle in his eyes. And he was not afraid. And now I get it. I've experienced the precipice. I've experienced the grace. And I just want to reassure you, it'll be there for you. You have nothing to fear. If you know Jesus, no fear in death is the birthright of a true follower of Jesus. It is the inheritance of a true follower of Jesus. It is the victory cry of a true follower of Jesus. No fear in death. I've been there. I done it. I got the t-shirt. And the same grace will be there for you. Well, that's all I wanted to say to you today, because it so impacted me that I just felt like I'd like to share it with you. So I hope this encourages your heart, and I hope that if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, that you will rush to him today and give your life to him and grab what he did on the cross for you as your one and only hope of eternal life and heaven and victory over death. Folks, that's where it is. It's no place else. And history is rife with people dying and screaming out in agony and screaming out in fear. But when you know Christ, it's not like that. It wasn't my experience. So, I'm going to lead us in a short sinner's prayer in case you've never trusted Christ. Let's pray. And if you want to trust what Jesus did for you on the cross as your entry into heaven, then just pray right after me. Lord Jesus, I come to you today because I want eternal life. I want to be able to face the grave without any fear at all, knowing that to be absent from my body will be to be present with the Lord, which will be exceedingly far better. I want that confidence. And so, Lord, today, I give up every other remedy that I've ever trusted to get into heaven and to forgive my sins in the sight of a holy God. And today, I take the work of Jesus on the cross, shedding his blood to pay for my sin, as my one and only plan for eternal life and for heaven. I give you my heart and my life as my Lord and my Savior from death and hell. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Boy, I sure hope you prayed that prayer with me if you didn't ever pray a prayer like that before. So, anyway, Lord willing, hopefully next week we'll be back in Matthew, unless the Lord tells me differently. I just want to thank you again so much for being with us. Hey, see my hair? Got a little haircut. Decided to stop dyeing my hair. So I'm kind of got that salt and pepper look. My wife loves it. My grandchildren said I should go back to dyeing my hair. Don't write me and vote, please. I think this is what I'm going to stick with. And as you can see, I've lost a little weight. I'm trying to lose a lot more. So anyway, thank you so much for joining us today. And remember, in Christ, there is no fear in death. And if you did pray that prayer with me, I want you to go to our website, lonsolomonministries.com, and start listening to our whole series entitled Spiritual Bootcamp, so that we can get you grounded, so that you understand fully what you did, and you can defend it to others. Spiritual Bootcamp, Lon Solomon Ministries.